You're listening to a podcast from Victory. What does it mean to establish a godly household? Find out in week 6 of All and Nothing.
Last week we talked about the application. We started with the truth and then its implication in our life, and then it gets stressful because we're now talking about the application. It has to have some change. It has to effect some change in our life. So we talked about our life, how we live in Christ. Living in Christ. So there are only two things last week. If you were here, it's about putting off of our old sinful self and then putting on Christ, okay, as a new creation. We put off, and then we put on Christ. Yeah. So that's what it means to live for Christ. And also, we looked at ourselves as a new creation in Christ. So if you're a Christian, I want you to know that you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That's what it said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says there, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new has come. Okay, can you look at the person seated next to you? If that person is in Christ, okay, I guarantee you, they're a new creation. Are you looking at a new creation right now? I hope that you are. Wala sa itsura yon, okay? Wala sa itsura. Kahit di halata, they're a new creation. Hindi halata sa itsura, pero dapat halata sa kilos. Dapat halata sa pagkatao. Lahat ng bago, new creation, halata. Naalala nyo nung elementary school? Di ba pagka meron kang classmate na darating may bagong sapatos, niloloko, next birthday, yun na ganon. So minsan nahiya sila, ayaw nilang magsuot ng bago. Kasi pag bago, halata. Dapat halata. Hindi secret Christianity. Pero dapat obvious ang Christianity. Yung bagong iPhone 7, parang hindi halata. No? Anyway. So it's not just an upgrade, but it's becoming brand new. Hindi lang refurbished, pero brand new. That's you. You're not just becoming an improved version, you're becoming a totally new and different creation. Okay, ang chlorine ay toxic non-metallic element. Okay, ang sodium ay silver white reactive metal. Pero pag sinama, pinagsama mo, nagiging asin. Okay? It's a totally new, different material. That's us. Hindi lang tayo parang pinapogi ni Lord. Pero we are a totally new, different creation. Today, we're gonna talk about what does it look like? Yung new creation na yon, ano bang itsura nun? Ano bang dapat na itsura ng isang tao na naging Kristiyano? Ang epekto nito, hindi dapat marunong lang siyang mag-come on, hallelujah! Pero dapat halata, okay, sa pinaka-importanting aspeto ng buhay, which is his or her relationship. Dapat halata ang mga Kristiyano at kitang-kita on how the way they relate. There was this atheist who asked Pastor Tim Keller, one of the pastors in New York Presbyterian Church, and that atheist said, the problem with Christianity, the greatest argument or the greatest evidence against Christianity are the Christians. Sabi ganon nung atheist. Tapos sabi ni Pastor Tim Keller, tama ka. Tama, nagulat yung atheist. Hindi ka nag-agree. Nag-agree ka sa akin? Yes, totoo naman eh. The greatest argument against Christianity are sometimes the Christians when they do not reflect the Christ that they have accepted. We don't want a Christianity that is like that. So we're going to look at how does it look like. How should it look like? Okay? If people in church know that you're a Christian, they praise God for it. But how about the most important people in your life, which are the people at home? Okay? So that's what we're going to talk about. How are the people at home affected by our faith? Can you please open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 3? We're going to read from verse 17. And as we do that, I'm going to read, but you can follow along silently with me. Let me start with verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And then we jump to chapter 4, first verse. It says, their masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that all the things that we receive from you, who you are, what you've done on the cross, does not just have to stay in our heads and in our hearts. But I thank you that you've designed this so that it will affect the very important relationships in our life. Lord, I ask you, tulungan niyo po kami maging Kristiyanong halata. Lord, tulungan niyo po kami na mahalin ang mga napaka-importanting relationships sa buhay namin, ang aming pamilya. Lord, I pray that you will be demonstrated inside our home where it really matters. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In order to appreciate this more, I think it's very important for us to understand that, first of all, we say book of Colossians, but it's actually a letter given to the house church of Colossians. The Colossian church is actually a house church. How many of you are familiar with the concept of a house church? Nakita na ba kayo ng house church? Ito yung itsura ng isang house church. This is a house church in northern India. So as you can see, sama-sama, siksik sila, maliit lang yung lugar. Ito naman yung isang house church sa Kinigi. And this is another house church in Dover, Delaware. So there is a pattern here. As you can see, it's not very large. Unlike here, that we can, you know, put inside 700 people all at the same time. But in house churches, very intimate lang. Ito pa yung kailangan natin maintindihan. Magkakasama yung parents, tsaka yung children, yung household servants, tsaka yung masters, yung kapitbahay nila. Walang kids church, sama-sama sila doon sa living room. That's a house church. So you can probably imagine when Colossians was being read in front of them, it was a very personal address. Sinabi, wives, submit. So parang napansin na imagine nyo siguro nung kinakausap yung wives, lahat sila nakatingin doon sa wife. Alam nila kung sino yung kinakausap. Pag sinabi na yung husband, tingin na naman sa husband, sinisiko pa yung iba. Ganun. So, very intimate. They're being addressed in front of everybody. That was the setting in which Colossians was read to the church. Now, in this part of the letter of the Colossians, Paul was describing what happens when we put on Christ. And he said, if we put on Christ, dapat Christ must be manifested in our relationships. Not just in our intellect or emotions, but it should be manifested, more importantly, in our relationships. Pag narinig natin yung word na manifest, parang, wow, napaka-religious naman yung term. Who uses the word manifest in their ordinary sentence? Diba? Parang hindi mo masyado. So, let me define what manifest is. When you say manifest, it means to demonstrate the presence. To demonstrate the presence of Christ, but not only His presence, obvious na may Kristo sa buhay, but also yung kanyang influence. So not only the appearance of Christ, but also the rule of Christ in the person's life, in how he makes decisions, in how he treats the people around him. Sabi ni Paul, dapat halata, lalong-lalo na sa bahay. Dapat sa mga relationships natin sa bahay. Ano ba yung mga relationships na yon? Let's start with the first one. The husbands and the wives. Their relationship. Unang-una daw, halata dapat sa relationship natin with our spouse. How many of you here are married? Can you raise your hands? Okay, don't put it down. How many of you are happily married? Come on, don't put down your hands. Okay? Diba pag happily married, binaba. Tapos siniko. Umpisa pa lang, talo na. Okay. Husbands and wives. Inuna ni Apostle Paul yung mga wives. Sabi niya, okay, wives, I have this instruction for you. Wives, submit. Okay? Submit. As you can see, I have to say this now. This is, I can imagine when Colossians was read to the church in the first century, it was a very stressful time. Kasi nga magkakasama sila ron eh. So I wouldn't be surprised if this would have an effect na medyo stressful to sa atin kasi we're being addressed in a practical manner. So, yeah, sinabi ko na kasi mafe-feel niya natin yung lahat eh. Wives, submit. In verse 18, it says there, wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Let me explain this. During the first century, it was very normal, even expected, for the wife to submit to the husbands. In fact, it would go to the length of saying na, in fact, women have not much rights during the first century. And so it was actually an expectation that wives would submit to the husband. There was nothing new here. And yet, Paul still had to say it. I wonder why. And then I saw this part when he said, as is fitting in the Lord. I believe that this is what made everything different. This is what made the perspective very different. You see, this phrase means that the wives are asked to submit, but not because of culture. Not because it is expected of them by the culture, but because it is what is fitting in the Lord. Because it is what God wants. This is very important because I can imagine if I was preaching this in my church in Los Baños, there would probably be some pushback. May pushback dito kasi there's many people in the university that believes that the times during the New Testament, the first century and now is so much different already. Before it, the marriage were hierarchical and now it's everybody's equal. It's egalitarian culture already. And so there would be people who would say, don't tell me to submit to my husband because, you know, I earn more than my husband. So it probably just makes sense that I would be the one who will be submitted to. You see, this thing, that this commandment of Paul that he is now saying in Colossians actually settles this. Because he's saying, wives submit to the husbands, not because of culture. This is not a cultural thing, but this is what is fitting in the Lord. What does submit mean? Many Filipinos would think, pag sinabi submit, walang karapatan, hindi pwedeng magsabi ng opinion, huwag kang sasagot, sasagot pa eh. Yung mga ganun, dapat submit ka lang. That's not what submit means, at least in this biblical context. Submit, it's actually a military term in the Greek that is talking about people who are equal. And yet, even though you are equal in dignity and in worth, you would choose, and that's the word, choose. You have a choice. This is your own accord. This is not expected of you, but this is what you want to do. You choose to yield. You choose to cooperate. To your husband's role. And sabi sa Bible, this is what's fitting in the Lord. Therefore, it doesn't diminish one's dignity or worth, that you are not of lesser value if you're the one being asked to submit. It is simply a role. Roles does not equal value. Okay? In society, there are leaders, there are supporters. That doesn't mean that the leaders are more important than those who support. In this church in Green Hills, we have pastors who are leading, and there are people who are supporting. It doesn't mean that the people who are supporting are less important than the pastors. And it cannot be that everyone is a pastor. Can you imagine that? For example, in the 5 p.m., everyone's a pastor. That lahat tayo dito sa stage. Hindi tayo kasya. Okay? There are roles that God has placed and given to us, and we are to submit to those roles. And thinking and being secure, it doesn't have anything to do with our dignity or our worth. We are all equal. Amen? So therefore, it is This submission is fitting to the Lord. And because this is fitting to the Lord, this submission has a limit. It has a limit. Kailangan pleasing kay Lord. Because the authority of the husband, the leadership of the husband, is not higher than the leadership of God. Therefore, submission's limit includes the sinful. Pagka sinful na, hindi ka magsasubmit. Pagka harmful na or illegal na, hindi ka magsasubmit doon. That is the limit. Now, Paul spoke to the husbands next. And he said to the husbands, husbands, don't be harsh. Lahat ng husband, taas kamay. Yan, lahat ng husbands, gentlemen. Yan. The Paul has something to say to us, don't be harsh. I wonder why Paul had to say this. He didn't say, don't be lazy. He could have said that, and that would be valid, right? He didn't say, you know, don't be forgetful, and that's also valid, I think. I think Paul should say that. But instead, he said, don't be harsh. I believe it's because most men treat their wives harshly. It's one of the greatest tendencies of men. Generally speaking, if you're not, you know, if this is not true to you, it's okay. But generally speaking, I think it is what men usually struggle with. So I say that if men did not struggle with harshness, God would not waste his time commanding against it. And the challenge is most men doesn't even recognize it when they are harsh. I don't even recognize it when I am harsh. And it, you know, when somebody would tell me, John, I think you sound so rude. And I would say, no, I'm not. I get so defensive. I mean, if you can relate. Siyempre, hindi kayo magtataas ng kamay doon. Ba't ba ako nagtatanong pa? Okay, alam mo yun, bakit ako harsh? Hindi ah. We're very defensive about it when it's called out. So, to help us with this, are we harsh? Are we sometimes harsh? I have some questions here that I would like all the husbands to answer mentally. And if your wife and your husband is here or not, you can also answer this for your husband mentally. And later on, you can compare your answers. Later, not now, okay? First question. Husbands, do not be harsh. Here's the test. Does your wife enjoy spending time with you? Husbands, answer now, mentally. Okay? Wives, answer also, mentally. Next question, please. Does she feel encouraged by you? Okay? Husbands, I told you this is going to be stressful. I felt a little bit of stress when I was doing this. I was preparing this. Especially now that my wife is here in the audience. Okay? Third question, do you make her feel safe physically and emotionally? Husbands, please answer mentally. Wives, please answer. Compare answers later. And then lastly, is she proud to name you as her husband? Is she proud to name you as her husband? Husbands, don't look at your wife yet. Not yet, not yet. Later. Just pray first. Pray with me. You see, if you answered no to any of this, there may be a possibility that you have been harsh. Possibility, okay? One of the sad realities in the Philippines today is, according to Rappler, 1 out of 4 ever married women have been abused physically, emotionally, or verbally. These are the only ones who reported it. It comes from a wrong cultural mindset, says the magazine, that said, mas macho pag brusco, bastos, barumbado o babaero. And some men actually believe that you are more manly if you have many women in your life. And you're not more of a man if you're faithful to your wife, but you have to flirt with many women. That's what the article said. I don't think that should be the case. And definitely the Apostle Paul said it doesn't have to be. He said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. In NIV, it says, be considerate. In NLT, it says, give honor. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, which is also a letter that Paul wrote at the same time that he wrote Colossians. That's why it's very similar. He said in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, let's love our wives. Let's not be harsh. Amen? This is what the Lord says. Next, And then Apostle Paul switched his focus to the children. Okay? Children, he said, I want you to obey. How many of you are children? How many of you are children? Okay? Obey. That's what the Apostle Paul said. We're gonna qualify the word children in a while. But here's the verse. Here's the part of it. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Okay? Obey. Well, sino ba yung children? Let's qualify that. When I researched this, this is what I got, and I think it makes sense. What it basically means is that it's a general word for anybody who is still under parental guidance. You stop being a child when you go out to establish your own independence and your own life. As long as you're in the home, as long as your parents are responsible for you, as long as you're under their leadership and control, you have one command, and that is obey. We were talking about Vera, yung anak ni Bojo. Kahapon, ni Pastor Bojo, kahapon daw, nakila Pastor Ryan. Galing sa party ng McDonald's, no? Tapos, pumunta kila Pastor Ryan. May lakad, may sariling lakad. Tinawagan si Pastor Ryan. Gusto pa raw magpunta ng fort. Ganun. And so at 3 years old, she's already starting to be very independent. The moment that she steps out of the house and starts supporting herself, when that day comes, she's no longer a child. Okay? But as for now, I don't think Pastor Bojo will let that happen. Okay? I would imagine myself that I wouldn't as well. But it says here that if you are a child, then you have to obey. And it's not just obeying for the sake of obeying. It's obeying because this is what pleases the Lord. And when I say obey, when you become a Christian, you have to obey your parents. It doesn't look like this. You go home. You go to the church first. You raise your hands. You worship God. Thank you, Lord. Such a great kid. Then when you go home, you read the Bible. And your mom calls you from the kitchen and says, pwede mo bang hugasan yung pinggan? And then nag-init ulo mo, sabi mo, mamaya na! Nagpapasa pa nga ng Bible! Ganun. Wow. That's not what we're talking about. And even if you do obey, you've totally missed it. Because obedience here has the context of honor. I remember when I became a Christian, my mom did not approve because we grew up as not, you know, in a traditional religion, and in our religion, Christianity, born again Christianity, is not acceptable. And so when my mom found out that I was a Christian, she called me a traitor. Okay? I was so discouraged. And so I asked my victory group mates to pray for me, and they gave me an advice. They said, you know, just let the light of the Lord shine at home. And I said, that's why I have a problem. But, you know, through the course of time, I realized there's this, you know, God would give me some instructions that are very specific. One of which is to say sorry and to say I love you to my mom and my siblings. You see, you have to understand, I have never said sorry in my life. Okay? When I was in college, up until college, until I met the Lord. And so this was a big deal to me. So, you know, I had to die to myself and I have to say sorry and I love you. And when I forced myself to do it, not because, you know, I need to win their favor, but because this is what is pleasing to the Lord. Na-shock yung nanay ko. Sino ka? Sabi sa akin ganun. Okay pala yung victory. Sabi. Sige nga, tuloy-tuloy mo lang yan. Buti pa yan, may pagbabago sa buhay mo. And only then did they accept the faith. And 3 years after that, I was able to baptize my mom at her victory weekend. You see, that's what happens when the children would not just obey but honor, not because it is required, but because it is what's pleasing to the Lord. Next, so Apostle Paul, nilipat naman niya yung focus niya, tapos na yung children, okay, sa parents naman. But he mentioned specifically the fathers. He said, fathers, do not provoke. I wonder why special mention yung fathers. But please know na, mothers, you are not exempted. But yeah, we have to acknowledge it that the fathers received a special mention here. It says in verse 21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." What does provoke means? In NLT, it means aggravate, which means to annoy for unjustifiable cause. In NASB, it means to exasperate. What does that mean? It means irritate intensely through prolonged quarreling. Prolonged quarreling. Hindi lang yun nasagi mo, pero prolonged quarreling, okay? And then embitter in NIV, which leads, of course, to bitterness and then eventually to rebellion. You see, there's something about our children. For those of you who have children like me, there's something about them that I notice. Pag bata pa lang, my child just turned 3. And when our child is too young, they have like such short memories. And so you would offend them, and then they would forget about it. And so one time they're hurt, and yet the next minute, they want to play with you. We're so blessed. However, the older they get, the better their memory becomes. And they won't tell you all the time that you have hurt them. They will just keep it in. That's why many, many parents are astonished to see their children rebelling at a certain age. It's as if overnight their heart changed. No, it did not. It was years of being embittered. And there was a quote that says, "If you are exasperated because your children are acting like monkeys, know that there is a bigger monkey at home." So enough said. Anyway, let's not embitter our children. Next, and our third relationship that the Apostle Paul wanted to focus on are servants and masters. Now, because the title of our message is The Household for Christ, and I know that this now can be translated into an employee-employer relationship in our time, we have to be strict and talk about it in the context of the household. So therefore, this means the household servants and you, their master, or you, the household servant, and your master. Okay? So what is the instruction? Apostle Paul spoke to the servants, said, "Servants, obey." Obey. In verse 22, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service." You know what eye service means? It means not only when they're looking, okay, eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Now, as a servant, it's so easy to be obedient and cooperative and to be industrious and working hard when our employers are looking. It's not just true for household servants, it's true for all employees. But, you know, and you would be shocked to see those Facebook videos of servants, household servants, who would do crazy things when their boss are not around. Have you seen those? You know, those that were left with the children, and they would do some mean things, rude, hurtful things to the children, to the babies. And the only time that they got caught was when the employers installed a CCTV. But during the first century, there were no CCTVs. And so the Apostle Paul said, "You don't need CCTVs because we are in Christ." Because the ultimate CCTV is God. He can see us. And therefore, when we work, let us work not just for our masters, not just for our bosses, but let us work as if we are working for the Lord. Even when there is no one looking, let's serve as if God is looking, because He really is looking. He is the ultimate CCTV. And then finally, Apostle Paul spoke to the masters, to the employers, and he said, "Employers, be fair, be fair. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says there, "Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." You know, if you have a household help, you probably know this already. They see everything, don't they? They do. In fact, Pastor Joey Bonifacio, one of our apostolic leaders, said this in one of his preachings, and I could not shake it off. I always remembered it. He said, if you want to know the real character of a person, ask their household help. If you want to know the real character of a person, ask their household help. And that's a big statement. And many of us would forbid our household help to talk to anyone outside the house already. I forbid you. It doesn't even apply to household help. It also applies to any employee in any business establishment, in any place of work. Question is, are we treating them fairly? Are we giving them what they deserve? Because when it comes to ourselves, we always fight for what we deserve. But when it comes to other people, especially those that are serving us, sometimes it's not the same. And the Apostle Paul is giving us an encouragement. Let us give them what they deserve. Because we also have a master in heaven who not only gave us... No, actually, he did not give us what we deserve, because what we deserve is so far less. What we deserve is hell. What we deserve is punishment. What we deserve is not to be given anything, any blessing at all. But our master in heaven gave us everything in Christ. He gave his one and only son for us. And having received this treatment, how could we not, the Apostle Paul said, how could we not let that blessing overflow to those that work for us? As I close, I would like to quote what a famous pastor, Pastor John MacArthur, said in one of his preaching engagements. I would like to read it so that I won't make a mistake, but I hope that you get and grasp the message behind it. This is what he said. "Now, what is introduced into the home is not a new principle. It's the same old thing. Authority on the part of the husband, submission on the part of the wife, obedience and honor on the part of the children, serving and fairness on the part of the master and the household servants. It's not new, it's old. But there's a new presence here. The family has all of a sudden a new power because of a new presence. There's a new energy to realize this old principle. And so, it isn't anything new. It's something very old, but there's a new presence. And that's Jesus Christ. The new presence makes for a new power. Christ is there. His power is there to make the family what it ought to be. And I think there's a third thing, a new purpose. Christianity introduces into the home a new purpose. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says to start the whole passage that we read a while ago, that whatever you do, in word or a deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's the verse that introduces the whole section of, you know, the commandments to the relationships. So whatever your home is, and whatever you do in your home, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it all to His glory. Do it all to His honor. So there isn't a new principle, but there's a new presence, which means a new power, based on new purpose. And I'll tell you something else. Fourthly, there is a new pattern for the home. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, we needed a new model to follow. So, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul said, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." The new pattern is Christ. You see, before Jesus came, they didn't have that model to follow. But now we do. And so there's a new presence giving a new power toward a new purpose, following a new pattern to fulfill an old principle. And that is, God has intended authority and submission to exist in the home. And while man struggles with that, it becomes possible in Jesus Christ. This is not just hard. This is impossible. But it becomes possible because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that when you gave us that great gift in your Son, Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation and forgiveness and love that we don't deserve, you designed it not just to change our minds or change our emotions, but you designed it so that that change will be demonstrated to the most important relationships that we have. I thank you, Lord, that you designed it in such a way that we would receive your love first. And as we receive that, it's now possible to give that. Because after all, we could not give what we do not have. But I thank you. Because no matter how far our reality is from this instruction, we know that there's going to be a day that we would be able to do what this commands, that we could serve one another and love one another. We look to you, not to our own ability, but we thank you that when you gave us an instruction to love the people in our home, you also gave us the provision, which is your love received by us. So thank you, because this is not a lost cause. This is actually something very doable and possible. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcast.